Begin the current Dav Masechtas Becharis Dav Chav Ches. Begin 8 lines down at the top of the Yamut, where the Gemara continues the conclusion of the of our opening Mishnah of this parak. When the Mishnah had described that a Bechor is eaten within its year, its first year, whether it's unblemished or blemished, like the Pasuk says, Shana B'Shana, as we had different interpretations, that it's a year that's 2 years, which is going into the other year, but it's its own, its full year. Now, the Mishnah concluded with the following statement, and that's what our Gemara is going to discuss. Says Noilai Mum Batech Shnasa, if it developed a blemish within its year, so then Rishoy Lakaima Koshne Masachidish, then you could hold on to it for a period of 12 months. Now, La'achar Shnasa, but if it developed a blemish, La'achar Shnasa, after its year, and this is what's gonna be discussed, what does it mean after its year, in the Rishoy Lakaima Elamajim, then you could only hold on to it for a period of 30 days. So that's why our Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says this idea, Nele mum b'tech shnasa, if it develops a blemish in its year, reshoi l'kaima kol yud beis chaydish, b'chulu, so you could hold on to it for 12 months. Ibaila, the following question, which we just alluded to. Hechi kama, what is the last sentence saying? Is it saying, Nele, which the Girsa adds on the word mum, b'tech shnasa, if it develops a blemish within its year, so reshoi l'kaima kol yud beis chaydish, so you're allowed to hold on to it for 12 months, meaning, from after it develops a blemish, you have it for a period of 12 months. Ula acha shanasi namishleishim, and the Girsa adds in the word yoim, that after that, after its year, you have it also for another period of another 30 days. So although you already had enough time within the year when it developed a blemish, but we give you an additional added 30 days. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. So when we said these words that La'achar shenasai, you could only have it for 30 days, it's a continuation of the first phrase. We give you a year, after the year, okay, we only give you another additional 30 days. Aydemo, maybe no, it's actually two different statements. Hecha denayle le'mum b'tech shenasai, the first statement. When it develops a blemish within its year, so reshoi le'kamikos shnei masachaydish besulai, you could hold on to it for 12 months and nothing more, that's it, you're done after the year. Then, when it says la'achar shenasai, what it means to say is v'hecha denoilai achar shenasai, when it develops a blemish after its year, then that's a different halacha. Ein reshoy l'kaima el shleishim, then one could only maintain it and hold on to it for a period of 30 days from when it developed the blemish. So when the Mishnah is saying la'achar shenasai, what it's saying is if it develops a blemish after the year, then you only get 30 days. But within the year, you only get a year and you don't get an additional 30 days. So which version is it? Says the Gemara Tashma, let's bring a raya, the Tanya, because we're learning the following braisa. B'chor b'zman hazeh, a firstborn animal in today's times when an unblemished animal, a tam, has no utility because there's no base in migdash and you can't use it for personal usage when it's unblemished. So says the braisa, actually niru l'harois l'chacham, if it has not yet been appropriate to yet show it to a sage because it didn't develop a blemish, to ask the sage if it's a permanent appropriate blemish to then use it for personal usage or not, so then, a person could hold on to it for 2-3 years. There's nothing wrong about not using it, as we had said in the Mishnah, within the year, because what are you going to do? Generally, tam within the year you bring as a carbon. Blemish you slaughter for your own personal usage. But here, tam bezman hazeh, there's no utility, so you could hold on to it for 2 or 3 years. Now, but when it has already been able to have been shown it to a sage because it developed a blemish, and you just have to confirm it with the sage, so then it depends. If it developed a blemish within the year, so you're allowed to hold on to it for a period of 12 months. What the Gemara assumes right now, what it means to say is, if it developed the blemish within the year, and then we said you could hold on to it for 12 months, and that we're saying that after the year, after the year, you can't hold on to it even one day, even one moment. But because of returning a lost item, so to speak, to the owners, which the owner in this context, who gets the Bechor, where the Tam Balmum is the Kain, which what the Bryce is coming to refer to is, because if this Bechor is in the possession of a Yisrael, then if he's not going to find a Kain to give it to, if we're going to make him slaughter it now, the meat might spoil by the time he finds a Kain. So therefore, Amr, they said, okay, so you know what? Although really only supposed to get a year, but we're allowing you to maintain it for another period of 30 days. And then, if you don't find the kain, okay, then you'll slaughter it, and then you'll salt it, so that it can be preserved until you finally find the kain. But one thing you see from the Braisa is that when we talk about the halacha of 30 days, it's going on the one that developed a blemish within the year, that is a continuation of that phrase. You really only get a year, but okay, we'll give you an added 30-day bonus you know, just in case, and like we said, for the halacha of Shabbos Aveda. So you see that it's going on the Nolo Techshnasi. So the Gemara, no, but dying to Bailey. No, I still have the question, because this Bryce itself that you're bringing, you could have the same doubt that we had in the Mishnah. Because you could say, this, the Bryce is saying, that after the year, you're not allowed to hold on to it for even a day, even for a moment. And that's what the Bryce is talking about, is actually talking about, like we said, the second option before, when it says, we're talking about a different case. If it develops a blemish after the year, we're saying, really, you're not allowed to hold on to it even for a second. And that's what the Braisa says, but because of a Shavas Aveda, it's Shleishim Yim Achar Shnasai. We allow you to have it 30 days after the year. If it developed a blemish then, really, you should have to give it right away. But we don't have a kain, so therefore, you could hold on to it for a period of 30 days. And therefore, maybe it's not a continuation. No, or maybe it's really talking about if it developed a blemish within the year, on that it's saying that even after the year, we do give you an added 30 days. And therefore, you can't prove it from the b'raisa. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring it right from the following b'raisa. If it developed a blemish 15 days before the end of the year. So, says the b'raisa, so you could complete the remaining 15 days after the year. Now, what you see is, obviously, is that when the Mishnah had said that we give him 30 days, was talking about when he develops the blemish after the year. Why? Because if it was like the first option, that it was going on when it develops a blemish within the year, even if there's one day to the end of the year, then you can't say that you're giving him 30 days after the year, because what we see here from the Brises clearly is that we only let him complete the 30 days. And obviously we see from this Braisa that if it develops a blemish within the year, whether a month or two before the end of the year, you only let it hold on to it till the end of that Bechor's year. Because it says, Shana B'Shana. Now, if it develops a blemish after the year, or close to the end of the year, then the minimum we're going to give you is going to be a period of 30 days. So if it's after the year, 30 days. 15 days before the end of the year, we'll give you 15 plus 15, so you have another 15 days after. Shema Minah, so that proves, that we had, like we had said, that no, it's not a year plus 30 days, you only get a year, and the 30 days was going if it develops a blemish after the year. Says the Gemara, Mesayel, Rabbi Elazar supports what Rabbi Elazar had said, because the Amr Rabbi Elazar, he said, Noisim Mishleishim Yaim, we give 30 days if it develops a blemish after the year, Mishashin El Bemum, from the moment it develops a blemish, then you get 30 days, and therefore that's not a continuation of the year, but rather when it develops a blemish after the year. Now, that was one version. Ikadami, that those that said that Amr Blaza, that he said the opposite, like the opposite version. He said, from where do we know if the firstborn animal develops a blemish within its year? That besides the year, we actually give him another 30 days. He says, it says the pasuk in Devarim, and he expounds the pasuk as follows. It says, Lefnei Hashem Lekecha Techlenu Shana B'Shana. This pasuk is going on the laws of the Bechor. It says, in front of Hashem your God, you should eat it a year in a year, which sounds like two different years. Ezehen Yamim Hachashu M'Shana. What are the days that are considered like a year? Hava'ayma Elo Shleishem Yim. That's 30 days, as the Gemara says in the first parak of Masechet Rishon Daf Yud Mem Beis, that 30 days in the year is considered like a year. So he says, you see from there, Shana B'Shana, it's a year plus something else that's called a year, which is, or because we also would have just said 2 years. Rather, it's referring to something that's like a year, which is a year and 30 days. So therefore, he says, actually, like the first option. Now, according to this, Ikeda Amri, Meisevei, they actually, from that Braisa, asked on this second version of Belazel. The Braisa said, if the Bechor developed a blemish 15 days before the end of its year, so we supplement another 15 days after its year. What you see from the Braisa is, Hashlama in. What we will give is a supplement to complete for 30 days. But mehava, to go ahead and give a complete 30 days, loy, that we don't give. So that's Tzivta Rabbi Elazar, who says that you give, not just supplement, you give a year and 30 days. So the Gemara, you write Tzivta, that's refutation, rather like the first version had said, which was like the second option we had said in the Mishnah, which was that the 30 days is if it develops a blemish after the year, then you give 30 days. But if it developed within the year, you only get to the end of the year, and you don't get an added bonus of 30 days of holding on to that Bechor. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which continues in the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was discussing the laws of the Bechor being a Tam or Baal Mum. So says the Mishnah as follows. The halacha generally is that, especially Bizman HaZeh, that the Bechor, if it's tam, there's no utility. You can't bring it as a carbon. So we had said in the previous Mishnah, so the Yisrael has to hold on to it for a certain period of time, and then you give it to the Kohen, and he has to hold on to it and deal with it until it develops a blemish. Then he could use it for his own personal usage. Now, the way you could do that is by showing it, as we said before, regarding to a mumcha, he says, that's a permanent blemish. Okay, it's already disqualified as tam. It's a balmum. You could use it for your own personal usage. However, our Mishnah says, Hashichir es habachar, someone first slaughters the firstborn animal, umares mumay, and then subsequently he shows, after it's slaughtered, that it's blemished to the mumcha, and he says, you're right, there's a permanent blemish. So Rav Machlokes, Vidamatzri, he says, okay, although it's done backwards, but it's permitted, because it had a permanent blemish. We didn't show it beforehand, but it had one, and therefore it was a balmum, and it was permitted to be slaughtered. Rav says, no. Since it wasn't slaughtered first by being verified by a professional saying that it's a permanent blemish that you're allowed to, therefore, this slaughtered animal is forbidden because it was never yet permitted. Now, says the Mishnah, let's say someone is not a professional, and he checks out the firstborn, and he says, oh, it's a blemish, and therefore they slaughtered based on his words. I raise you a cover. That's not something that will permit it, because he's not a mumcha, and therefore has to be buried, like we said that if it's not al pi mumcha, it's asa, bishalmi beisai. And therefore, this one who did this, and said this psak, who caused the whole loss now of the bechor, he has to pay from his own money because of what he had caused. Now, Amar Rabbah Babachan, he qualifies the machlegis in our Mishnah, he says that, bedukin sheba'ayin, regarding a film in the eye, which is like a cataract, if we said the machlekes was, if it was first slaughtered, then after the slaughtering, it was shown to a mumcha. We said that was a machlekes. So he says, regarding a cataract in the eye, if that was shown after it was slaughtered, the kulam alei pligi d'asa, he says, no one's going to disagree over there that it's going to be forbidden. And it won't help if we find that post-mortem that it had a blemish beforehand. Why? Because of the pain of death, the eyes of the animal changes. So even though now we check it and we say, yeah, the mumcha says it's a permanent blemish, had he seen it when it was alive, he would have seen that actually it was only a passing blemish, a temporary, and not a permanent blemish. It's only now that it dies that it changes. So therefore, seeing it now is not going to help. No one's going to agree that it's going to be forbidden. Their whole dispute was only by blemishes in the body. For example, let's say when the ear of the animal was cut, which that's a blemish in the bechayr, that's where the machlekes is. What's the machlekes? Says Remeir, so Remeir held Gezrinin Mumin Shabaguf. It's a rabbinic decree that we make regarding blemishes in the body. Atu Dukin Shabayin. You're right, because a blemish in the body, so there's no problem about seeing it now. Who cares if it was before or after? We see ultimately that it was Baal Mumin, therefore the slaughtering was permitted. Says yes, but we're concerned if we let you do it, b'di'evit, after the fact, you find the blemish after it was slaughtered by when it was in the, let's say, the ear of the animal, you might come to do it with cataract in the eye, which that doesn't work post-mortem, and therefore we disqualified any time it's done like that. Whereas Rabbi Huda Sava, he held that, no, we don't make such a decree. Yeah, Dukin Shabayim won't work. In the guf, it will work. And therefore he says, after the fact, it will work. Says Gemara Tanam Hoch, similar in the Braisa. The Braisa says, if someone slaughters the firstborn animal, and only after that, Umares Mumov, he shows its blemish to the Mumcha, and he says, it's a blemish. He says, okay, so if it's a cataract in the eye, so that's forbidden, and they shouldn't mishana, because that changes. It won't help to say that you see now as a permanent blemish. But if it's a blemish anywhere else in the body, that's permitted, and they shouldn't mishana, that doesn't change. And if you see that it's blemish, okay, that turns out that it was a good slaughtering after the fact. He says, no, both cases are forbidden, because they change. Which the Gemara asks, could you entertain to say that they change? But do blemish in the body change? They don't change once the animal is slaughtered and dead. What's he saying? Rather, because of those that do change, in other words, because of the dukin sheba'ayin that change, so we made a gzeira for the blemishes in the body, that even though they don't change, to say that they're also gzeira unto those that do change, which are the dukin sheba'ayin. Now, Amr of Nachman Yitzchak, he says, as he continues to Medbeis, he says, Masnit Namideka, that actually our Mishnah is also precisely point out this idea, that their whole dispute is, as we had said, is only by blemishes in the body, but their machlikas was not in the Dukin Sheba'ayin. Why? Because the Mishnah quotes, Remeir, he says, Hoyl v'nishchat, shaloy al pi mumcha, since it wasn't slaughtered by the authorization of the professional, so therefore us, so therefore it's going to be forbidden. Which sounds like that Remeir did not find any flaw in this slaughtering, but the penalty that since it was not slaughtered based first on the authorization of the mumcha. Now the problem is, every time a dukin sheba'ayin, cataracts in the eye, the Mishnah should have said, Rav Meir says it's forbidden, because it changed. It doesn't help that now that it's a permanent blemish. Rather, obviously, that there was no flaw in the actual blemish itself, because we're talking about blemishes in the body. And Shemami, no, what we can infer from this is Kanasa Kukonis Rav Meir. Rav Meir is just saying that we penalize him because of a gezerah, because of the case of Dukan Shabayin. Shemami, no, that again confirms what we were saying, that the machlek is only by the Mumin Shabaguf and not in that of the Ayin, because there actually Ilman agrees that's not going to help post-mortem. Now going back on that halacha that we quoted, Ibayilu did the following question. So he said that in the way the Braisa quoted, Rav Meir says it's forbidden. Why? We say even Mum Shabaguf, Atu, the Dukan Shabayin, because of those that change. Which we said that those, what's those that change? The cataracts, that they're checking after death is not going to help. Now, the thing is, the Kulu, is it that all cataracts in the eye, Mishtani, that they always change? Idilmo, maybe, even in the cataracts themselves, in the eyes, Ikud de Mishtani, ve Ikud de Mishtani. Our concern is, there are some that change, some that don't change. So therefore, the blemishes in the body, we make a decree and say, it's not going to be good because of those cataracts that do change, but maybe not all of them do change. So the Gemara wonders, l'may nafka, I mean, what's the relevancy, what's the difference? Even if you're going to say that not all of them change, but since we don't know which cataracts change and which one don't, therefore we're going to say that all cataracts are asr. If, and therefore we say even Mumin Shabaguf, we say Asr, Atu, those of Dukan Shaba'ayin, if we're slaughtered without a professional. So what's the difference? Says the Gemara, it's like Chushe Sahadi. It's to contradict witnesses. Let's say we're slaughtered without a Mumcha first. And now we show it to the Mumcha, and he says, it's a permanent blemish. And witnesses come and testify and say, oh, that is? This has not changed from what it was before it was slaughtered. And because we had seen it when it was still alive, and it looks exactly like it is right now. And that the question is, E Amrit Kulu Mishtani, if you say that all cataracts change when it dies, so Shakarinin, they're liars, these witnesses, because they're saying it didn't change, and therefore it would be forbidden according to everybody. Now, the E Amrit Ikud Mishtani Vikud Loy Mishtani, but if you say, no, we're concerned because some cataracts do change and some don't, then some chinalai, then we would rely on their testimony to say that it didn't change, and that actually, according to Rabbi Huda, it would be permitted because he doesn't penalize. My, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara Toshema, let's bring a raya because the Amar Rabba Baba Chana. Rabba Chana said that Sachli Rabbi Yeshua bin Usha. Rabbi Yeshua from Usha told me, Boi Varacha Badukin Shemeshtan, come, let me show you the cataract that change. Now, Medukamale Boi Varacha, from the fact that he says, come and I'll show you those that change, Mechlal de Ikid de Mishtani de Ikid de Mishtani. The inference is, there are those that do and there are those that don't, and I'm going to show you those that do. And therefore, that would be in the situation that we described. When they're witnesses, we wouldn't contradict them. We actually would believe their testimony. And according to those that would permit it, would say, yeah, because it didn't change. And the fact that we see it's permanent, like Rabbi Huda says, okay, after the fact, that's going to be valid. And we don't penalize him, even though it was first slaughtered and then checked. Now, the Mishnah had said that Misha in the Mumcha, someone that's not a professional, for Ras Bukhar, and he checks it out, he says, let me show me your firstborn animal. And he says, oh, that's a blemish. The Nishchad al Piv, and it was slaughtered based on his words. I raise you a cover, that's not qualified, it's going to be buried. Vishal Mebesa, and then he has to now compensate the fact that he caused this loss. Says Gemara, Lemitznan stomach, Remeir. Should we say the anonymous end of the Mishnah is like Remeir, who he's the one that said that in both cases it's going to be forbidden, where we're saying it has to be buried, even though right now we see that it is a permanent blemish. Says the Gemara, no, Dima Badukin Shaba'ayin. Maybe the end of the Mishnah is talking about a cataract in the eye. That's where it's saying it has to be buried, where, like we said, according to everyone, it changes. And but therefore the halacha would be going like everyone, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Mishnah concluded by saying, like we quoted before, Vishalami Besai, that this one who gave the psak, since he wasn't qualified, he has to compensate. Now, Tanu, we learned in the Braisa that Kishu Mishalim, when he has to go and pay and compensate the Kohen, who now has to be buried and he doesn't get his Bechayr, so then Mishalim Revia, he gives a quarter of the value of that small, of that animal that was Bechayr Ledaka, if it's small livestock, Umechtz Legasa, and if it was a firstborn large animal, large livestock, he has to give half of its value. Now the reason why he only gives half of its value is because this is a case of what's known as Mumen HaMutl B'Safekel. It's money that's in doubt, which the halacha is chalk, and you split it, and therefore it's going to be 50%. Because you could say that he caused a total loss for the kohen. Why? Had this non-professional, who was not qualified, had he not permitted it, then when they would have brought it in front of a real professional who would have said, that is a blemish, and he would have permitted it, so then the kohen would have had the whole value of that animal. He would have eaten it. Now it has to be buried. Now, but you could also say that maybe it didn't cause any loss to the kohen, because maybe it wasn't a blemish, and maybe it would never have developed into a permanent blemish, and maybe it would never have had a blemish by, before it dies. And it would have died with never having a blemish, and since there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing to do with an animal that's a tam, and therefore maybe it would have had no value. So because of that doubt, did it cause a loss or not? So therefore he has to give him 50%. But the Gemara asks, but my time, what's the reason that we make this discrepancy that only by Behemah Gasa he gives 50%, but by Behemah Daka he only gives a quarter? So Amar Papa says, because Zeh, by the large animal, Hefse Merubah. That's a great loss for the Kayan, and therefore he has to give him a large compensation, which is 50%. But Bezeh Hefse Merubah, by the small animal, it's a small loss, and therefore he only gives him a quarter. Well, that the Gemara says, but Ihach, if that's the case, Lefum Pseidah L'Shalom, he should pay him according to the 50%, of the large animal is a larger 50%, and the small one is a smaller 50%, but both should get 50%. So rather, Amrav Huna by Menoich, Meshmid Ravacha by Ikka, he says, Mishum Gezeris Megadle Behemah Daka Nagubo. The reason why it's only a quarter by a loss of the small livestock is because of the concern of the those who have bring up the small livestock, which either the interpretation is because since it's a great effort about bringing up small livestock, which is very difficult to take care of it and maintain it. So this one that permitted the Bechayr, this non-professional, who now because of him, they slaughtered, now they have to be buried, he actually saved the Kayan from having to invest in all that care that he has to take care of the unblemished Bechayr of the small livestock. Because had he shown it to a different one that's a professional, maybe he would have not have permitted it to him. Then he would have had to take care of this animal until it develops a blemish. For who knows how long he would have had to take care of this small animal. So therefore, since this, he actually saved him some money, therefore he actually only has to compensate him a quarter and not 50%. Or another interpretation, what it means is, it's actually a gezeira against those who bring up small livestock because he violated the words of the sages, like the Gemara says in Baba Kama, the Fine Testament Beis, that it's actually forbidden to bring up small livestock in Eretz Yisrael because it causes losses. So the rabbis penalize and say, okay, so when this kohen is getting a loss, instead of giving 50%, we only give him 25%. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about someone that inappropriately makes a psak din that was not appropriate and therefore he has to compensate. So similarly, the Mishnah says as follows. Donas adin, someone educates a court case. And zikas achayev, the one that was really supposed to be liable, he said he's not liable. Or v'chiyev es azakai, the one that was supposed to be clean, that was supposed to be not obligated, he obligates. Or times atar, that which was supposed to be tar, he says is tame. V'tiyas atame, or the one that was supposed to be tame, he says is tar. Says the Mishnah, Masha Asa Asi, what he had done is done. He made the psak, he it's a done thing. And therefore he caused that loss. And Vishama basically, so he has to now compensate this judge from his own pocket. Now, but Vimhoya Mumchala Bezdim, if he was a professional for the courts, then Patam Lasham, then he's exempt from paying because the litigant cannot tell that judge, why'd you judge? You weren't qualified. It says I am qualified, and therefore, although he made a mistake, he won't have to compensate that loss that was done. Now, says the Gemara, Lema Tanan Stomach Remeir. Shall we say that our Mishnah is anonymously like Remeir, the Doin Dina de Garmi, who he judges laws of loss that was an indirect cause, which, as the Gemara says above, Bekamad of Kofa Medalev, if someone had the wall of his vineyard that was breached, so they tell him, go ahead and close it up because there's another field nearby which is going to cause it to be Kalai Karim, it's going to be a forbidden mixture, and he gives up hope and he doesn't close it off. So now they get mixed together, causing the loss of Klayim. It's his obligation to compensate for that loss, which that's Garmi, that he caused now the grain of his friend to become prohibited. So that's Remeir, who holds responsible someone that caused an indirect loss. Here also, the judge didn't actually do damage. He only caused indirect by saying that there's a responsibility or not in a different place. So shall we say that the Mishnah that says that there's an obligation is like Remeir's that done in the Garmi? Says the Gemara, no, Amr B'lo Marav, he says, K'gen Shenasa V'nasim B'yad. Our mission is not just that he said and thus indirectly caused, he actually did it actively with his hand. So the Gemara wonders how this plays out. Bishlam Echiv Ezazaka, we understand the case which said that he obligated the one that was really exempt. K'gen Shenasa V'nasim B'yad. We could understand we'd be talking about where he himself went, the judge went, took the money from the person that was not obligated, and he went and paid up the creditor. Where that was not appropriate, he took money from this guy. So you understand, oh, he actively did it. It wasn't just indirect causation. So, okay, that we understand he would be chayiv. Elazika es chayiv hechadami. But what would the case be talking about where someone that's really obligated, that he exempted, obviously you can't have it that he actively did something. Rather, in the Girsa takes out the word e, is the amale patraat. It would be talking about where he said to him, you're exempt. Now, v'holei nasam nasa biyad. But that wasn't actively doing anything. Why is there an obligation if we're not going like Rav Meir? So Ravina says it would be told by Kugan Shahoyaloi Mashkin. The lender had collateral that was from the possessions of the borrower. Now, this guy exempted the borrower. So what he did was Venutli. He went and he took the Mashkin, Heymenu, he took it away from the lender and he gave it back to the borrower. That's a case of where he's exempting someone that's obligated and he's actively doing something to affirm that. That's an active thing, and therefore that's where he's going to be chayv. Additionally, when the Mishnah continues, it says, Timei Satar, when something that was really pure, he says impure. So what did he do? It's the Agabuhu Sheretz. He actively did. Someone brought something that's pure in front of him and asked him, what's its status? And he says, it's tummy. And what he did was he took a shted sheretz and he even touched it with the thing to affirm that there's no more doubt and say that what I said is true, that it's tummy. Turns out it was really tar and he caused actively the loss. And so too, when it says in the Mishnah, Tiras a tummy, someone that's really tummy, he says it's tar. It's too much even imperesim. They brought Tyrus in front of him to ask what its status is, and he said, it's tar. And what he did was to affirm his opinion, he went and he mixed that produce that they weren't sure if it's tamay not with other produce of the questioner. And then it turns out that they asked a professional sage, and he says, no, it's actually tamay. And therefore, he caused a loss of tamay to all the other mixed produce. And since it was actively done, therefore, there's chiv, and therefore, it's not necessarily like Reb Meir to say that it's a don din of the garmi. It's something that he actively did, and therefore, he's liable. Now, the next Mishnah continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah. There was actually an incident with a cow that its womb was taken out of it. They had come to Reb Tarfon and asked, is it a trefa? Is it a mortal defect? Its womb was taken out of it. And he said that, yeah, Reb Tarfon said they fed it to the dogs, so saying that, yeah, it's a trefa, and therefore you can't eat it anyways. You could have benefit by giving it to the dogs, but it's a loss from having human consumption. Now, the incident came in front of the sages of Yavne, and they actually said it's permitted, it's not considered a treif. As the Gir says, Sha'amar Taidus Arefi, because they said Taidus, the doctor said, Ein par of a chazer, yoitzim Alexandria shal Mitzrayim, there is no cow or swine that leaves Alexandria of Egypt. Shein chaitchen o'em shalot, that they don't first do surgery and take out the womb of the animal. Beshlushalay tailed, because they don't want it to give birth. In other words, since the cows and the swine of Egypt of Alexandria were actually very high quality, and so they would sell it for a high price. They wanted that they shouldn't be able to go ahead and then grow their own in the country where they're taking it to, so that they should have to come back and have a total monopoly on those animals in Alexandria. So what they would do is they would take out the womb of the cow that it won't be able to have children from it. And the animals didn't die. And therefore it's not a trefa. And therefore that was incorrect psak of Reb Tarfon. Some Reb Tarfon said, Holcha chamorcha Tarfon. Tarfon, your donkey is going away, meaning you have lost your donkey because you're going to have to take your donkey now and pay up the owner of the cow that you caused a loss to him by saying that it was a trefa, which turns out really it wasn't. That Amli Reb Akiva, no, Reb Tarfon Ata Mumcha LeBezdin. You're a professional like of the previous Mishnah that's proficient in law for the courts, and Mechala Mumcha LeBezdin Pala Masham, like we said in the previous Mishnah, whoever's a Mumcha for the courts is exempt from paying, although he made a mistake, he's not going to be obligated, and therefore you're exempt. Now, but the Gemara wonders what Rabbi Kiva had told him, but typically, it should be sufficient, even if Rav Tarfon was not a mumcha, still he should be exempt, because the Tobidvar Mishnah, his error was in an explicit Mishnah, which is brought in Perek Eilid Trefus and the Chuldaf Nundalim and Aleph, that tells us clearly that if the womb is taken out, the animal is kosher. The Tobidvar Mishnah Chayzer, and whoever makes an error in the explicit Mishnah, could retract his psak, what he had said, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Gimel and Aleph. So therefore, had the cow still been around, he actually would have been able to track and to say that, no, I'm mistaken that it is permitted. So it comes out that what he had said didn't have finality. It's like it's nothing. And therefore, the one who fed it to the dogs, he caused the loss, not Reb Tarfon, who said that it's a trefa. So therefore, why do you have to say because the mumcha, even if not, he'd be exempt? So the Gemara, you're right. One and another, he was saying. Chada, first of all, you're right. The Tobidvar Mishnah, Chayzer. First of all, the one that makes an error in the explicit Mishnah could retract. And what you had said did not have finality as if, okay, that was the reality and now he has to pay. No, he would be able to back up. Moreover, he was saying, Even if your error would have been in what's called shikal adas, in weighing different opinions, which the Gemara explains in the first paragraph, for example, let's say there's two Tanoim or two Amarim that disagree and dispute. And the halacha was not said like either one, but the common outcome of the sugi is like one of them. And then this rabbi, this halacha, then says to do like one, meaning like the other one, not like the common custom. So that's where we say, okay, what he did is done, but he has to compensate from his own monies. So that's what Rabbi Akiva was saying, that even had it been in that type of situation that had been a shikal das, still you would not have been, you would have been, meaning it to say, in that type of situation, generally, the halach is, even if the cow is still around, you can't back out and go ahead and say, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, it's really permitted, because that has finality to it, not like a Tarbid Va Mishnah. So it would have came out that what he had said is usher, and therefore the loss would have been caused not by the one who threw it to the dogs, because it would have already been a treifa just by his psak, and he could not have backed out. So it actually would have been that you did cause the loss. That's what Rabbi Akiva was telling him. Even so, you would still be exempt from paying. Why? Because mumchel beznata, you're a professional for the courts as a judge, and mechala mumchel beznata, whoever's a professional by the courts is exempt from paying. So you're right; he's exempt because tabed vamishna. But like we said in the previous mishnah, even if it was a ta in shikla das, he anyways would have been exempt because like we find these halachas of the previous mishnah, the mishnah before that. If someone is a mumchel lerabim, is lebezin, then he's exempt from paying from the loss that he caused by the erroneous psak.